We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. And today, Poland mourns the death of its president, Lech Kaczynski, killed yesterday in a plane crash in Russia.
Bez naszego Pana Jezusa Chrystusa, Twojego Syna.
We still can't believe it. There are so many people under the presidential palace here in Warsaw. And so many candles and people are coming. There's an endless river of people and I can't believe this.
The voices of mourner Sławka Spurek and a priest sang Mass this morning, broadcast on Poland's TVN. Joining me is news analyst James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic, for a look behind the headlines. Hello, Jim.
Greetings, Linda. Nice to talk to you.
President Kaczynski and 95 other people were killed when the 20-year-old Russian-made airplane called a Tupolev Tu-154 crashed near a landing strip in Russia yesterday. Jim, you're a pilot yourself, and I gather you've been cringing every time a news organization, including this one, I might add, questions whether the plane's age had something to do with the crash.
With any of these crashes, it takes a while to know what really was the circumstance, and it's conceivable that something about this plane and problems it had will eventually prove to have been involved here. But on its surface, this looks like a very depressingly familiar kind of crash where a pilot apparently tried very hard to land in circumstances where the fog was so low and the visibility was so limited, they simply couldn't see the runway. And this is unless something else comes up, it doesn't seem at face value that anything about the age of this airplane would have been involved in just what was a tragic event for all of Poland.
Now, in one of your latest blog postings I saw, you asked the question, what kind of country would let its president fly on a 20-year-old plane? And the answer is?
The answer is the United States of America, which took delivery of its current Air Force Ones during a George H.W. Bush as president in 1990. And Marine One, which flies the president of the helicopter, is from the Gerald Ford administration. The real point here is that an airplane that's in regular service is not like a car or something else, in that essentially it's continually rebuilt and reinspected. So again, there might have been something wrong with this airplane, but it seems like it was the weather and a decision.
Let's talk about the economy. By the way, I've been wondering what you think about how many economists it might take to say the recession is over before we finally begin to believe that the recession is over?
You know the old jokes about economists being the multi-handed people, and every president wants an only one-handed economist. He's so tired of hearing on the other hand. But I think the reason that the pall has hung so heavily over the U.S. is that unemployment is still quite high. And the last time this happened was almost 30 years ago during the early Ronald Reagan administration. And so within living memory, this is still a very painful experience for most people. So when hiring continues and picks up as it did last month, then I think there'll be some change of mood, but probably not until then.
One of the complicating factors for the U.S. economic recovery has been China and China's valuation of its currency, the yuan. There are reports that China may be close to boosting its value, maybe even thinking about floating it. That would certainly please the White House. What's your take on this?
I think that between the middle of 2005 and the middle of 2008, China didn't quite float the currency, but it let it day by day edge up in value against the U.S. dollar. And then it's been frozen essentially for the last 2 years as part of China's response to the world recession, trying to keep its exports as competitive as possible. And every sign has been that sometime in the next couple of months, maybe next month, maybe by June, the Chinese government will allow this edging up once again, which they recognize they need to do for the balance of their economy. It will probably help the world economy, too. It won't be a salvation in itself for U.S. exports or the U.S. economy, but it will be a step towards normality and balance in how things work around the world.
Now, sort of arguing on the other side, China had a trade deficit last month. It was the first in 6 years, according to the Wall Street Journal. I gather that it was caused by the cost of raw materials the Chinese are importing. But could that give them any kind of a reason not to move?
I think it was a one-month trade deficit figure, the first one in 5 or 6 years, and pretty much everybody saw this coming, including on the Chinese side. And so there's been a little bit of rhetorical puffing of, oh, you see how already our economy is adjusting. But I think that nobody thinks it reflects a fundamental shift in economic trends, and China will surely have a trade surplus for the year as a whole. But it may be important internally in China in allowing the government to start to say to people that, well, you know, things are getting balanced since now we can start having adjustments. So it could be the politics of this issue for the Chinese government are both internal and external. It can be sort of one more step towards making this possible.
James Fallows is a national correspondent with The Atlantic. He's a frequent guest on this program, and you can read his blog at jamesfallows.theatlantic.com. Jim, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Linda.